Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, from high atop the ice surface at MTS Center. We welcome you to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast here in the press box at the MTS Center, where the Boston Bruins just defeated the Winnipeg Jets by a 3-2 margin in overtime. I'm your host, Drew Mindell, joined up in the press box by my colleague Ezra Ginsberg and producer Michael Remus. Ezzy, 3-2 Bruins, they take the victory here in the Jets' final home exhibition game of this 2013-14 NHL season. And I'd say of all the exhibition games, this was probably the most entertaining one. And, you know, it wasn't NHL, it wasn't regular season, but it was a decent facsimile of it.
It was a good hockey game. It wasn't a very entertaining game early on, but in the with about 5 minutes left in the first period, the Jets started to come on there. Devin Setoguchi got the goal there and tied it up. And when you have a game without the top players, mm-hmm. and again, you know, Patrice Bergeron and Brad Marchand were fantastic as usual on that top line with newcomer Louis Erickson.
For the Bruins, you mean?
For the Bruins.
Yeah.
But when you don't have that top line, you can't analyze it with the same seriousness that you would a regular season game. But for the Winnipeg Jets, for the most part, this is probably collectively the best roster they've put out, Drew. We were talking about this before the game. With the exception of three guys maybe?
Well, five guys.
Five guys.
Lad, Little, Wheeler. And
no, I was going to say, as with the exception of three players, this is the team we're going to see.
Sure, the Jets didn't play. Lad, Little, and Wheeler didn't play for the Jets, the Jets' top line. Zach Bogosian and Toby Enstrom didn't play on the back end for the Jets. But you're right. I mean, you know, you had most of your second, most of your third, and, you know, most of your fourth line in action. You had your best goal. You had your number one goalie, Andrei Pavlik, who I thought was particularly sharp in tonight's game.
Andrei Pavlik was good, and the overtime winner was not his fault.
No, it was
at
a great two-on-one
play. It was a great play. And we got to talk about Ryan Spooner, who had a goal and assist and had a really good game.
For the Boston Bruins.
For the Boston Bruins. He was really good tonight, and he got the third star, I believe. Bergeron got the first star. I thought Spooner should have got the first star tonight, but he was excellent. But we have to talk about a few things as far as the Winnipeg Jets go. Mark Scheifele got the goal, the second goal. It was a beautiful goal. I actually thought he struggled quite a bit during the game, and that goal kind of made up for it. And the microscope, Drew, is on these guys. It's on Mark Scheifele. It's on Jacob Trouba. And the microscope will be on those guys in the regular season as well. But as far as those two guys in this game, I thought Jacob Trouba, again, was in a lot of different situations, power play, even strength, penalty kill, and he played pretty darn well.
Yeah.
And he picked up an assist, and, you know, he continues to show you that he can probably be in the top six. Now, a guy like Adam Pardy or a guy like Paul Postma, who were on the bottom pairing tonight.
Yeah, they played together.
They played together. They were all right. But those guys are going to have to do something to show Claude Noel that they should be in the lineup over Jacob Trouba.
Well,
and right now it's those three guys that are competing for that last spot.
To me, based on everything we've seen so far in the preseason, to me, I think it's pretty cut and dry that the Jets' top six defense, barring any injuries, is going to be Klitsam and Byfuglien, Bogosian and Enstrom, and this is in no particular order, and Stewart and Trouba. To me, it's just the skill level that Trouba brings to the game, even though he's 19 years old and even though he's a rookie, the skill level that he brings, and I mean, I thought he played a very good game for the Jets tonight, and that's just something that I don't see Paul Postma or Adam Pardy being able to match. Now, maybe, you know, Game 40, Game 50, Game 60, Jacob Trouba, the length of the season and the quality of the competition will catch up to him. But, you know, today he certainly didn't look out of place, and I know this isn't the full roster of the Boston Bruins, but he just seems to have such a presence and such a command of the ice when he's out there that I don't see any way that he's not playing significant minutes for this Winnipeg Jets team starting, you know, the Tuesday in Edmonton.
Drew, we mentioned that Jacob Trouba had the assist on the first period goal of Setoguchi. This is his stat line.
Yeah.
He ended up playing 23 minutes and 28 seconds with just under 5 minutes of power play time, 4 minutes and 58 seconds of power play time. Mentioned the assist, 3 hits, 2 blocks. I mean, that stat line, and you mentioned that he's 19 years old, and we all know that this is his first NHL season. He's got the 1 year in college, but that is impressive. And you're going up against the Stanley Cup finalists. And I know that Lucic and Chara and some other guys aren't in the lineup, yeah. Iginla. But you're still going up against the Boston Bruins. You're still going up against good defense. And you mentioned the defense pairings. And I think it's really important that Mark Stewart and Jacob Trouba stayed together the whole game, because that most likely will be the third pairing.
And I think it makes so much sense as a pairing for this Winnipeg Jets team. You have the steady influence of Mark Stewart, the sort of the, you know, he's not flashy. We know what Mark Stewart is as a player at this point in his career. He's not flashy, but he's not going to... He's just going to be solid.
Yes, and a guy like Stewart will give you 15 to 17 minutes, won't play on the power play, might play a little bit on the PK, but he's mainly an even-strength defenseman, like you said. Nothing flashy, will go out and give you, you know, his physical brand of hockey. And you're right, I mean...
But he'll be such a calming influence for Jacob Trouba, and you won't be able to see that on, you know, that won't show up in the stats. But you know, Jacob Trouba will know, look, I'm playing with a pro's pro in Mark Stewart. It's going to make my job that much easier.
Yes. And I think, you know, switching to forwards, I think one of the most important things that I took out of this game, and again, this was a close hockey game. It went to overtime, but
let me ask you a question before you start talking about the forwards. You mentioned that you didn't, you know, Scheifele scored, but you weren't overwhelmed by his game for the most part tonight.
I haven't been overwhelmed by Mark Scheifele at all.
Who was better this game, Mark Scheifele or Olli Jokinen?
They both weren't good.
Well, who was better?
And that's a tough one, because Olli Jokinen, Drew, as we've talked about a lot, is having trouble finding his role again on this team. And last year was only a half season, but last year it wasn't an offensive role, mm-hmm. because when he was put in those situations, he struggled. I mean, 14 points in 40 games or whatever it was last year. So this year, if Jokinen is struggling offensively again, and you still have Scheifele struggling offensively, you probably want to go with Scheifele, because you know that he's going to be a future offensive producer for your team. And I thought that, again, Olli Jokinen, he's not good on faceoffs. He's not particularly good on the power play either. And the lines tonight were Kane and Frolik on the wings for Jokinen as the top line, and then you had Scheifele, Setoguchi and Tangrady on that second line, and then you also had Wright, but then he dropped down with Slater and
Thorburn. They switched around the lines
the whole game. They switched around, but Jokinen was getting to play with Kane and Frolik, and the thing is, Kane and Frolik are fast players, they can shoot off the wings, and Jokinen at times seems to not really add anything, and that's the problem.
I think he's lost the step.
I think it's undeniable that he's lost
the
step. I
don't think he can keep up with the skill and speed of Evander Kane, and that's why, and Devin Setoguchi, and that's just why I can't see any foreseeable reason why Mark Scheifele doesn't get that second line center spot.
And the only way that happens is if Scheifele struggles.
You're saying,
and if Olli Jokinen is going to be the second line center, which he's proven that he doesn't deserve that, except for, you know, he has a huge contract, and that huge contract, that 2-year deal that he was given. Yeah. I mean, you can't forget about that. He's one of the highest paid guys on the team. You can't have Olli Jokinen as your fourth line center. So it's either third or second line, and as a third line center, even he's not effective. Olli Jokinen right now is one of the biggest question marks. Scheifele, I think, will be fine. I mean, Scheifele's goal in the third period, you saw the hands that he possesses, because last year in Barrie he had, how many, 100 points or whatever he had. He was one of the top guys in the OHL as an overage player. But with Olli Jokinen, he doesn't have anything right now as far as strengths go. And right now he's kind of the odd man out. But he's not going anywhere.
If you told Olli Jokinen, concentrate on your 200-foot game, we want you to be as good as possible in the defensive zone, and if the offense comes, it comes this year. Because you only got him for another year. I mean, after this year, we know he's not going to be here long term. If you told Olli Jokinen, be as good as you can possibly be in your own zone, it's better than what he has been now, which is mediocre everywhere on the ice.
Absolutely. And it's a huge bounce back year for him, because he came over last year from Calgary and stayed here, decided not to play overseas, stayed here with his family.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was admirable. But again, Drew, this is the third year here for the Jets. We haven't made the playoffs. And this is a year where there isn't room, for players to take steps back. And Olli Jokinen took a step back last year. And if he takes a step back, again, whether it's second line or third line, and I know we've had this debate a lot on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, I tend to think that they're going to bounce Scheifele and Jokinen back up and down from the second and third lines. Probably Scheifele gets more time in the second line. But regardless of if Jokinen, I'm talking about, plays second or third line, he's got to be productive. As you said, if it's third line, okay,
Well, that's
be
my point.
Be a defensive forward.
That's
win faceoffs. I'd your checks, and he doesn't do that.
Well, I'd rather than bouncing them back and forth, I'd rather the team go to Olli Jokinen and say, look, we want you to be as good as you can possibly be. Focus 99% of your energies in the defensive zone so you can play that third line center role and be as good of a shutdown player as you can be, even if that's not initially why we brought you in here. And I don't know that he's necessarily got it in him, but we do know that when he went to Calgary after his time in Florida, his defensive play improved dramatically when he was in Calgary versus his time earlier in his career when he was in Florida. And I think the Jets would be well off to say to him, look, don't press it. Don't go crazy trying to be this offensive dynamo. You can be a good contributor to this team if you play a third line center defensive role to the best of your abilities.
Right, and they need that because they know that it's most likely going to be a combination of James Wright, Matt Halaschuk, and Michael Frolik and or Devin Setoguchi on that third line, but we most likely have Setoguchi penciled in as that second line right winger.
Yeah,
but there's a chance that Frolik will go up there. We have to consider that really that what the Jets have on the wings is an embarrassment of riches.
Well, let's not get carried away.
I like what the Jets.
It's better than it has been. Let's not get carried away and say it's an embarrassment of riches.
I like what the Jets have on the wings.
Yeah, I like it too. But it's
I think they are a lot stronger than last year. And I do think that they're I have no issues with any players right now on the Jets except up the middle. Most
that's
important position.
I would agree with you there.
In the NHL.
But I don't think it's the envy of any NHL team.
I didn't say that.
No, I know. But you said it's an embarrassment of riches.
I stand by what I said. Okay. I think they do have a lot of options and a lot of versatility on the wings. But as we've talked about, hey, Drew, let's put it this way.
Yeah.
If Olli Jokinen is able to fill that third line role and chip in some offense but play more consistently night in, night out, offer that defensive role,
yeah,
then we're not having this debate anymore, and then we're talking about other areas of the team.
Then you have a team that's
Pavlik was good tonight. Yeah. Will he be good 70 games?
Then you have
this
team that's much more well-rounded.
Right.
You're absolutely right about that. In any case, this ends with tonight's loss. This ends the home portion of the Jets exhibition season. And as one who's been here for all the games, I'd say, thank God, I'm ready to see some real NHL hockey. That gets underway Tuesday in Edmonton. The Jets visit the Edmonton Oilers on Tuesday night. Of course, back here 8 days from tonight, next Friday, against the Los Angeles Kings with the home opener on that Friday night and then the Timu game on the Sunday. This coming Saturday on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, it's our NHL season preview show. We're going to be joined by the Sheriff, Shane Knighty, to talk about the Winnipeg Jets, joined by Kevin Allen of USA Today and Eric Dehatchik of the Globe and Mail. For producer Michael Remus and for my colleague Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mindell. We thank you very much for listening to the Illegal Curve postgame podcast.